Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puff Wheat. It's neat. And when you hear that shooting, you're darn tootin'. The Quaker makes the ones shot from guns. And the ones shot from guns give you something important. Yes, listen to this if you want to have the kind of stamina that Sergeant Preston has. The stamina that pulls him through his rugged Yukon adventures. Both Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice give you added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So for the nourishing treat that can't be beat, eat delicious Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. Sergeant Preston and his great dog, Yukon King, crossed the snow-covered main street of the town known as Big Ridge and entered the office of the constable.
Sergeant Preston.
Hello, Jack.
And King. I'm glad to see you. Just arrive in town?
I arrived last night.
Well, you did. Why didn't you come to my house?
Well, it was late, Jack, and I knew you'd be asleep, so I went to the hotel. King stayed with me in my room.
Ah. If you talked to the hotel clerk, you probably heard about the murder of Nate Hendricks.
Yes. Have you a line on the killer?
I know who he is. His name is Travis.
You seem sure of that.
Oh, there's no question of his guilt. And I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
Yes, I've always liked young Travis. I can't believe he'd kill a man, but this is one case where we have an eyewitness. A man named Vic Daggett.
You haven't talked to Travis?
No, he ran away. He knew he'd hang if we caught him.
Have you looked for him?
Oh, yes. But wind and snow had blotted out the tracks. But now that you're here with King, perhaps we'll be able to track down the killer.
We'll arrest Travis this morning.
What? You're certainly confident of King's ability to follow a scent.
There's no need for that. I know where Travis is hiding.
You do? Well, how do you know?
The waitress in the hotel told me where to find him.
Mildred Taylor?
Yes. She's convinced Travis did not kill Hendricks. And she doesn't want him to be a fugitive from justice for the rest of his life. He wants him brought back and cleared of this murder charge.
But, Sergeant, it's an open and shut case.
Well, that remains to be seen. If you're ready, Jack, we'll start for Dogleg Canyon, where Travis is hiding in a cave.
Yeah. I'll be ready as soon as I get into my pocket.
Sergeant Preston and the constable were side by side with King trotting at his master's heels. As they turned into Dogleg Canyon, a few miles north of Big Ridge, they were met head-on by stinging particles of icy snow driven by a high wind. For protection, they pulled the hoods of their parkas forward to shield their faces. Presently, the sergeant pointed to an opening in the western wall of the canyon.
There's the cave.
I see it.
If Miss Taylor told the truth, we'll find young Travis hiding there.
Sergeant, I see him. He's watching from behind that big rock at the mouth of the cave.
I see someone's head.
That's Travis.
You crooks, keep away from here.
Did he call us crooks?
Yes. Steady, King. Hold it, boy.
Stop, I got you. If you see me killers coming nearer, I'll shoot.
He's calling us killers. He must be crazy.
We can't tell who we are while we wear these parkas.
Hold your fire, Travis.
He's raising his gun.
We're police. Oh. Take him, King.
As the constable fell, Sergeant Preston gave King the word to charge and then opened fire. The first shot from his pistol smashed Travis' rifle. Unarmed and helpless, the fugitive ducked behind the rocks. In scant seconds, King was over the rocks and on top of him.
Get away! Get off me!
Travis, knocked to the ground by the charge of the powerful dog, found his arm gripped in jaws of steel. Moment later, Sergeant Preston closed in.
Hello, King. Down, boy. On guard.
Stand
up, Travis.
I don't think he hurt me much.
Not nearly as badly as you did the constable.
The constable?
The man you just shot.
Oh, no, no, I didn't shoot the constable.
No?
You mean to say that man out there is Jack Martin?
Yes.
Well, he's walking toward us. I didn't kill him, thank goodness. I didn't know. Who are you?
Sergeant Preston.
You a lawman?
There's a uniform beneath this parka.
Oh, now I'm in deeper than ever. I didn't know you were a lawman. I swear I didn't know it.
Watch him, King. How are you, Martin?
Not bad. The bullet nicked my shoulder and knocked me down. That's about all. I think it's only a scratch.
Now handcuff this man and we'll look at your wound. Oh,
I'm sure it's trivial.
Hold out your hands, Travis. Jack, take off that parka.
I didn't know it was you, Constable. I thought you two were killers.
Yeah, likely story. It's an open and shut case, Travis. You killed Hendricks, then came here to hide. You saw Sergeant Preston and me open fire. But you didn't count on Sergeant Preston smashing your rifle. Or on King.
That's not true.
Why did you think we were killers?
I thought the constable was someone else.
No, you did, huh?
Hold still, Jack. I'm trying to dress your wound.
I suppose everyone who's caught says he was framed, but in my case, it's true.
Tell me what you know about Hendricks' murder.
Did you know Hendricks, Sergeant Preston?
I've heard of him. He owned a share of the general store, share of the cafe.
He owned a share of almost everything, including Travis's gold claim.
That's all?
Yes, he grubstaked McDuffie and me.
McDuffie? Who's he?
He and Travis were partners.
That's right. McDuffie and I each had a quarter interest in the gold claim, and Hendricks owned the rest because he grubstaked us. He owned half interest.
I see.
McDuffie and I lived in a little cabin at the edge of town. We spent most of our evening time in the cafe next to the hotel.
The hotel where Miss Taylor works?
Yes. She waits on table in the hotel, and she sings every evening in the cafe.
Go on, Travis.
About 10 days ago, McDuffie broke his arm. He had to carry it in a sling. He couldn't work with a pick and shovel on the claim, so he spent most of his time in the cafe. Hendricks saw him there every day and thought he was shirking his work. Mildred told McDuffie and me how Hendricks felt one evening when she saw us together in the cafe.
Of course, it's none of my business, boys, but Mr. Hendricks figures you two are letting him down. And after grubstaking you on that claim, he's mad about it.
We're not letting him down, Millie.
McDuffie isn't working.
Well, I can't work with a broken arm.
That's right, Millie. Mac can't work, but I'm working that claim every day.
Mr. Hendricks said he went out to the claim the other day to see how things were coming. And instead of working, you were practicing with your throwing knife.
Is that what he said?
Yes. And he said you wasted most of the afternoon.
Why, that... Millie, I'll tell you what really happened. Hendricks came to the place where I was working and saw that I'd rigged a target against the timber. He asked about it, and I told him how I'd practiced throwing a knife that a Mexican gave me years ago when I was in the States. Hendricks was interested, so I showed him how to hold the knife and how to throw it. We did waste a lot of time, but only because he wanted to.
He said you're an expert with the knife, and you couldn't be so good unless you spent all your time practicing.
Millie, the next time you see Hendricks, tell him not to worry. We're working the claim.
Oh, he just came into the cafe.
Yeah, he sees us. He's coming over to the table.
Wasting more time, huh?
Hello, Hendricks.
We're not wasting time, Hendricks. I can't work in the claim at night.
Sit down, Mr. Hendricks.
Thanks. You two may as well know that I'm tired of the way you waste time.
But
I financed you with the understanding that half the claim was mine and the other half was divided between you two. You were to do the work, but you're not doing it.
You think I broke my arm on purpose?
Travis should be working.
I'm working every day.
You can't do a day's work without a good night's sleep. Right now, you should be in bed.
But, Hendricks...
You listen to me. If that claim doesn't start to pay off by the first of the month, you're through. Both of you.
Oh, what do you mean?
Read our agreement. I reserve the right to cancel the agreement and take over the property lock, stock, and barrel if you didn't strike pay dirt by the first of the month.
But you... You promised to give us all the time we needed. You said that deadline was just a matter of four.
I didn't suspect you'd fritter away your time. You've heard my ultimatum. Now you'd better get to work.
Hendricks left the cafe. Then Mac and I looked over our copy of the agreement. It was legal. Hendricks could take over on the first of the month unless we hit pay dirt. I knew we'd find the real pay dirt sooner or later, but hardly by the first of the month.
You see, Sergeant, there was a strong motive for the murder of Hendricks.
Go on with your story, Travis. What do you know about the murder?
Well, Hendricks left the cafe, and I left a few minutes later. McDuffie stayed there to talk to Millie Taylor. I went to our shack and went to sleep. I woke up with McDuffie shaking me by the shoulder.
Hey,
he was mighty
on.
Excited.
Wake up. Wake up, Travis, you doggone fool.
Mac, what's the matter?
You fool. Why did you kill Hendricks?
What's that? Kill Hendricks?
Yes, and why'd you use that throwing knife? Of all
the
stupid...
throwing knife?
Especially with Vic Dagger as an eyewitness to the murder.
I didn't kill anyone. Came straight home from the cafe and went to bed. My throwing knife is... It was there on the table, but now it's gone. Someone took it.
Travis, there's no need to lie to me. I'll take care of Daggett. I'll pay him to keep his mouth shut. But you'd better leave town. Go into hiding.
Me? Hiding? But I didn't do anything. I didn't kill Hendricks.
If the law catches you, you'll hang. I'll pack grub and blankets for you while you dress. Go hide in a cave in Dog Lake Canyon. I'll be in touch with you. Hurry now. Put on some clothes and get moving.
I didn't know what to do. I was confused. I realized that if McDuffie thought I'd killed Hendricks, everyone else would think the same. There was no time to ask questions, so I cleared out.
Jack, was Hendricks killed by Travis' knife?
Yes. It was found in the body. Someone took it from our cabin while I slept. I tell you, I was framed for the murder of Hendricks, and I know who framed me.
You do?
Yes. That's why I shot at the constable.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, does your family ever get bored with breakfast? Well, if they do, here's a treat to perk up appetites. Pour out heaping bowlfuls of taste-tempting Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice, the one shot from guns. Cover them with milk or thick, rich yellow cream and chilled fruit or sliced bananas. Ah, there's a breakfast dish the whole family will always enjoy. Serve it tomorrow morning. Delicious, crisp, tender Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice. And listen, fellas and girls, have a pencil and paper ready. You'll need it for the exciting surprise at the end of the program. Now to continue. Sergeant Preston and Constable Jack Martin were surprised when Travis said he knew who had framed him for the murder of Hendricks.
Vic Daggert framed me. He and the constable are built about the same. When I saw you two coming through the gap, I thought it was Daggert and a friend coming to get me.
Daggert is the eyewitness to the murder of Hendricks?
He's the one who said he saw me throw my knife. He lied.
Daggert is a bad type, Sergeant. I'd say he came to the Yukon to dodge the law in the States.
No? What was Daggert's story?
He said he called on Hendricks just after Hendricks left the cafe. Suddenly, glass was knocked out of the window. He looked up and saw Travis throw his knife straight across the room. It went into Hendricks' heart. Daggett rushed to the window and saw you, Travis, running away.
But that's not true, Constable. Daggett has hated me ever since I knocked him down for molesting Miss Taylor. He swore he'd get even with me, and this is his way of doing it. You think I'd be stupid enough to use my own knife to kill Hendricks before a witness?
A man who's stupid enough to commit murder is stupid enough to do anything.
We'd better get back to town.
Yes, sir.
You'll be locked up on the strength of the evidence, Travis. It will make a complete investigation, and you'll have a fair trial.
With Daggert testifying as an eyewitness?
I intend to talk to Daggert.
Just one thing. How do you know where to find me?
Mildred Taylor doesn't believe you're a killer. She doesn't want you to remain a fugitive. She asked me to bring her back.
Oh. I suppose Mac told her where I was hiding.
She's sure that the truth will clear you. Now let's start to town.
Yeah, to town and to jail.
The short day had ended, and darkness had fallen by the time Travis had been locked in jail. And then Sergeant Preston and King accompanied Jack Martin home for a splendid dinner cooked by the constable's good-natured housekeeper.
Have you had enough to eat, Sergeant?
Indeed I have. It was a wonderful meal.
Mrs. O'Doyle's the best cook in the Yukon.
And that's the thing a woman loves to hear. It makes housekeeping a pleasure when there's a kind word once in a while. Now, here's a fresh pot of tea for you. And here's a bone, Sergeant Preston. A special one for that beautiful dog.
Oh, I'll give it to him. Look at this, King. Say thanks.
You're welcome, King.
Oh, Mrs. O'Doyle, you'll have to set up a meal for the man we're holding in jail.
Yes, I know. I have potatoes boiling. It'll be a little while before they're ready.
Good. I'll take the meal to the jail when it's set.
Jack, I'm going to call on Daggett now.
You know where he lives?
Yes.
Want me to go with you?
No, I'd rather go alone. The longer I consider what Travis told me, the more I'm convinced that Daggett lied.
Look at King. He sees you putting on your parka.
You stay here, King. I'll not need you this time, boy. I'll be back soon. See you later, Jack.
Vic Daggett was alone in his one-room cabin when Sergeant Preston rapped on the door, then walked in.
Hello, Daggett.
Oh, Sergeant Preston.
Sit down, Daggett. I want to talk to you.
About what?
The constable told me you were with Hendricks when he was killed.
Yeah, that's right. Hendricks had a glass window in his house. Travis smashed the window and then threw his knife at Hendricks.
You saw him?
Yeah, I ran to the window and I saw him running away.
Why didn't you go after him?
Well, I stayed with Hendricks to see if there was anything I could do.
Daggett, I think you lie.
What?
On my way here, I stopped to examine the scene of the crime, Hendricks' home. I saw the broken window. It happens that Hendricks' house rests on a high foundation, so the window's unusually far above the ground. Anyone outside would have to stand on tiptoe to see into the room. It would be very difficult to throw a knife accurately through that window. Furthermore, I found broken glass outside the window, which indicates the glass was broken from inside the room.
I don't know anything about that. I told the constable what I saw.
Daggett, you overlooked something else. If the knife had been thrown, it would have entered Hendricks' body on a horizontal line, not on a downward slant. I think the doctor's testimony will show someone held that knife.
No. No.
By your own testimony, you were the only one in Hendricks' house, so you must have held it.
Well, you can't say I killed Hendricks. I didn't do it, I tell you. I swear I didn't.
Then you may hang for the man who did. The doctor will testify to the nature of the fatal wound.
No. No, listen, Sergeant.
Hendricks was stabbed. The knife was held, not thrown. You framed Travis and you'll hang for it.
But I tell you, I didn't kill Hendricks.
Who did?
I don't know.
Who did?
Let go of me.
Let's have it, Daggett. Let's have the truth.
I'll talk. It was Mac.
Travis' partner?
Yeah, it was McDuffie. He asked me to go with him to talk to Hendricks. He said it was just a business deal and he wanted a witness. I didn't know he intended to commit a murder. He stood talking to Hendricks and he was showing Hendricks the knife which he had in his left hand. Then without warning, he stabbed Hendricks. I couldn't do anything about it. Hendricks was dead before he hit the floor. Then McDuffie told me I should help him frame Travis. He said if I didn't help him, he'd see that I was charged with a murder.
You might have told the constable the truth.
Sergeant, I knew how I stood. I knew that with my past record in the state, a jury'd be mighty quick to believe that I helped kill Hendricks. I knew I was in a bad spot, and, well, I knew that no one would believe that I couldn't have stopped a one-armed man from committing a murder.
Didn't McDuffie offer you cash to swear to false testimony?
Well, yeah, he did. He said he'd be the sole owner of the gold claim with Hendricks and Travis out of the way, and he promised to give me a share.
What about the window?
Well, I smashed it.
From the inside?
Yeah, that was dumb. I should have gone outside to smash it so the glass would be inside.
Come on, Daggett. I'll take you to jail and go after McDuffie.
You're not going anywhere, Preston.
McDuffie.
Get him up, Preston. And don't go for your gun.
No, Mac, the Mountie knows the truth.
Yeah, it's a good thing I came here. Preston, you'll have to die.
But, Mac, it's suicide to kill a Mountie.
Take it easy, Daggett. Travis will be charged with a murder.
You can't frame Travis this time, McDuffie. He has an alibi. He's in jail.
Oh, no, he isn't. I broke the lock in the jail so he could get out. Right now, he's on his way to our cabin to get a gun. He thinks he's going to meet me here to get the truth out of Vic Daggett. Well, he'll get here just in time to get the blame for shooting you, Preston.
Sergeant Preston knew that it would be foolhardy to reach for his gun while McDuffie had him covered from the rear. He decided to mark time and wait in the hope that a break might come. In the meantime, Constable Martin was on his way to the jail with a meal prepared by Mrs. O'Doyle. King trotted at his side. At the door, the constable paused.
This lock is busted. Travis is gone. King, the prisoner's escaped. I don't know how he broke that lock, but that's what's been done, boy. King, maybe you only take orders from Preston, but I'm sure hoping you'll help me follow the trail. Here, boy. Here, right here on the ground. There'll be a scent here. Get that scent, King. Get that scent and follow it. Lead me to Travis, King. All right, fella. Now do just as you'd do if Sergeant Preston were here. Follow that trail. On your way, King. Get going, boy.
In Daggett's cabin, McDuffie held his gun steady, pointed directly at Sergeant Preston, while Vic Daggett stood by.
Daggett, as things stand now, you're going to die.
What?
Don't you realize that? McDuffie didn't know I'd be here. He came here intending to shoot you, and he let Travis out of jail so Travis would be blamed for your murder.
Don't believe him, Vic. That's not true.
It is true. Think it over, Daggett. Why should McDuffie share the gold claim with you? He planned to kill you. Why else would he let Travis out of jail and come here with a gun?
Well, I...
As soon as he shoots me, he'll turn the gun on you, then probably shoot Travis and tell the law that Travis killed us both. Jump him, Daggett. Take his gun. It's your one chance.
I'm working with McDuffie all the way,
Preston. That'll do, Preston. You've talked long enough. I'm letting you have it right now.
Yes! Look out!
You!
Though Sergeant Preston ducked and charged like lightning, McDuffie's bullet grazed his shoulder, numbing his right arm. He grabbed the killer by the knees, and the two went down. Preston's left hand closed around McDuffie's gun with a grip of steel.
Vic, pull him off so I can use the gun.
Well, I'm trying to.
One shot, that's all I need. Hit him on the head. Grab him around the neck. Get away from here so I can fire.
Vic clawed and tore at Sergeant Preston, trying to get a grip on the Monty's throat. But Preston was adept at rough and tumble fighting. He and McDuffie were on the floor, rolling and thrashing. McDuffie was trying to bring the gun to bear, and Preston was hanging on while he did his best to keep away from Vic.
I can't get a hold of him!
One shot will fix him!
The odds were two against one, and Sergeant Preston's right arm was partially disabled from the bullet that had creased his shoulder.
I'll get him in a second!
The terrific strain was telling. The sergeant felt his grip grow weaker and weaker. And then he heard a shout beyond the door that Mac had left open.
Hang on, Preston! Crossing!
King!
That dog! The mighty dog charged through the door.
Look out!
He leaped at the struggling man with the force of a battering ram.
Get away!
Take him, King! Preston released McDuffie's wrist and rolled aside. Then King's strong jaws closed.
Oh! I have him covered.
All right, Jack, so have I. Down, King. On your feet, Daggett, and put your hands up. You too, McDuffie.
Yeah.
McDuffie.
That's right, Jim. He's the killer.
Great day. I expected to find Travis here.
McDuffie let Travis out of jail. He told him to go home and get a gun. McDuffie planned to kill Vic and frame Travis for another murder. But when he found me, he decided I'd be the one to die.
Listen, Sergeant, let me talk.
Talk in court, but it will do you no good. You and McDuffie will hang for Hendricks' murder.
If that dog hadn't been here,
these two killed Hendricks?
Yeah.
And Travis was right.
He was right about Daggett, but he trusted his partner, McDuffie. He expects to come here, meet McDuffie, and force a confession out of Daggett. He'll be surprised when he learns the truth.
It looks to me as if it's a good thing King made a mistake.
Mistake?
Yes, Sergeant. You see, I let King walk along with me when I took supper to the jail for Travis. The lock was busted and Travis was gone.
Yes, McDuffie broke.
I couldn't stop to figure how Travis got out. I wanted to go after him before he got very far. King sniffed around and acted like he'd found a trail, so I told him to go ahead and follow it. I told him to find Travis for me. Instead, he brought me here.
It was McDuffie's trail he followed.
Yeah, that's what I say. You got the wrong trail, King, old boy.
King disagrees with that, Jack, and so do I. I'd say King picked the right trail. And because he did, we'll have good news for Travis when he gets here. We'll tell him he's a free man and that this case is closed.
We'll return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. But first, here is Sergeant Preston.
Now, boys and girls, get ready for some exciting news. Let's join our old friend Gabby Hayes and hear about it.
Please tell us, Gabby. Go ahead.
What is it, Gabby?
Simmer down, simmer down. I'll tell you. But first, do you see this hat I'm wearing?
Yeah. I've always wondered where you got that keen, beat-up looking hat.
It's really different.
I'd give anything to have a hat like yours, Gabby.
Me too. Bet there isn't another hat like it in the whole world.
Well, that's just it. Everybody keeps saying the same thing about this hat of mine. Where did you ever get that hat? Never saw a hat like it in my life. And that's the truth. There ain't none. So I decided to spring a surprise on all you buckaroos, radio listeners, moviegoers, televisionary fans, and everybody. I've got some hats made like mine up special for all my friends.
Oh, boy, isn't that swell? All the kids will want them.
You're darn tootin'. If you've always been itching to get your hands on a hat like mine and wear it yourself, well, here's your big chance. It's like the hat I always wear in my Western movies and on my televisionary programs. I brought some along for you to see for yourself.
Jiminy, it's just like yours, Gabby.
Let me put mine on right away.
Me too, me too.
Now, all you buckaroos better hurry to get your hat. From the looks of things, they're going like hotcakes. And I only got a set number made, so don't be left out. Hustle up. It's first come, first served.
Say, fellas and girls, thousands will be ganging up to get a Gabby Hayes prospector's hat. Remember, there isn't any other hat in the whole world like it. It has that same jagged look to the brim, that same jaunty angle straight up from your forehead, a cord under your chin with a hitch to hold it tight. And listen, this Gabby Hayes prospector's hat isn't paper or flimsy stuff. It's made of real good quality soft wool felt. And I mean 100% wool felt. Why, you might think this hat would cost $2 or $3, but it's yours for only 75 cents. And one box top from a package of delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice. If you don't agree this hat is worth every penny you paid, return it, and we will gladly refund your money plus postage. Imagine a real hat of soft 100% wool felt for only 75 cents in coin. Think of what a wonderful Christmas present this hat will be for you and for your special friends. It comes in 3 sizes to fit every boy and girl. Now, I'll bet you don't know your head size. Well, just for fun, first take a guess, and then see how close you are. All you do is put a tape measure or strip of paper around your head at the forehead. Now, go ahead and do it right now, and then make a note of the exact number of inches, even to an eighth of an inch, and send this measurement with your order. We'll send you the size closest to your measurement. Remember, send your name and address with 75 cents in coin and one box top from a package of swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. Send to Hat, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. Now, don't wait. Send now tonight, and Gabby will see that you get a Gabby Hayes prospector's hat just like his. Send to Hat, H-A-T, Hat, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. And don't forget your measurement. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, I have a very important and rather risky assignment for you.
Very well, sir.
George Acton, a young chemist who was living in Selkirk, disappeared from there with his wife and child about a month ago. He must be found.
I'll do my best, sir, but what's he done?
He isn't a criminal. He created a serum and sent a sample to laboratories in Seattle. That serum saved several lives. Now an epidemic of diphtheria has broken out there. The authorities want the serum formula telegraphed as soon as possible. You must find George Acton.
Sergeant Preston realized the urgency of the assignment, but he didn't know that death stalked every mile of the trail that led to the man he wanted to find. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, and directed by Fred Flowerday. Today's adventure was written by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Delicious, nutritious, makes you feel ambitious. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Yes, fellas and girls, if you want to grow big and strong, eat Quaker Oats often. You get more strength, more energy from oatmeal than from any other whole grain cereal. So tomorrow, start eating delicious Quaker Oats, the giant of the cereals. Quaker and Mother's Oats are the same. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, Delicious Orange Crush. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.